G7, number 19B.
In the same vein, Mrs. Eddie gives the following. She says, God alone makes and clothes the lilies of the field. And this he does by means of what? By means of mind capitalized. Mind capitalized makes and clothes the lilies of the field. There is something existing in a realm of reality that is before the material lilies of the field. Namely, that mind is that mind which is the parent mind and looks after everything, and therefore, she says, because it's a means of mind, not matter. Or another one, there are a lot of them, by its own volition, not the blade of grass springs up. There must be another volition there. Not the spray buds within the veil. Not the leaf unfolds its fair outlines. Not the flower starts from the cloistered cell. It is always mind that does it. Or that very well-known quote, the florist will find his flower before its seed. So we always get that sense that it's really building the bridge between the first record of creation and the second record of creation, which says, I have shown you in the first record of creation the realm of reality, the realm of spirit. That is first. And only because that exists, then the earth can, so to say, reflect or shadow forth its counterfeit, the material universe. So the counterfeit universe is not a reality. We only call it a counterfeit universe, but it's not a reality. The reality is always the first record of creation, the spiritual record, the spiritual reality, the transcendental reality, as we may call it. Yes. So that's showing that mind is that which has always an image in mind, and that image in mind is always idea, and the idea exists long before it takes shape and form in the so-called counterfeit universe, in the material universe, which is not real. But also the synonymous term spirit plays a big part with these new thinkers. And I'm going to read down, as I did before, just little quotes, very short quotes, but very convincing ones. We had, because that professor has passed on, but we had in Europe, or especially in the German field, a great thinker, a modern thinker called Dietfurt. That's too difficult for you to write down. It doesn't matter what his name was. And he gave a lot of lectures on the TV, always most interesting one, which always would show that the line of discovery goes nearer and nearer and approaching nearer and nearer the realm of spirit, away from matter to spirit. Let me quote some of it. He said about reality, the spiritual is reality. The elements of reality or of spiritual come more and more to the surface. See, it surfaces now. For a long time it lay below the surface. We never were thinking about it. The materialists don't want to know anything about spirit and about spiritual reality. But he says, now we are living in an age where the spiritual comes always more and more to the surface. He says about evolution, a great question, a great subject, the reality of spirit determines more and more the unfoldment of evolution. It is the spiritual evolution against the material evolution. Since Darwin, we were believing in a material evolution, even before with Lamarck, at the beginning of the last century, we were believing in material evolution. And even when Dunuy came along with his human destiny, he was showing material evolution, but he brought in for the first time the question that there were paradigm shifts in the evolution which could not be explained with natural science of that time. About evolution, he says, we recognize the evolution from a material principle, to a spiritual principle. So again, we have here a step forward that it says, actually, the principle of the universe is not the material principle, which they considered as material laws ruling the whole universe. Now they begin to see that it's not that, but a spiritual principle. Somehow we know that from the textbook. Huh? Can you see the converging towards the textbook? Or it says, we are aware of the evolution from a material, natural, scientific consciousness to a spiritual consciousness. So when everybody is thinking today about that there must be a change of consciousness and is asking, what is a change of consciousness? He was one of the few that I was aware of in Europe that was saying the evolution is not to, say, a moral ethical evolution, to a better man, to a more moral man. But he said, no, the deeper thing is from away from the evolution from a material and natural scientific consciousness to quite a different consciousness, to a spiritual consciousness. Well, who on earth has been speaking about the spiritual consciousness up to that time, up to our time? Or he says, evolution is something that transcends human beings. That is, even human beings. What we see in his class, when we look at each other, we see the evolution of mortals. Mortals' evolution. With a very short history. If you think about the Big Bang, 15 billion years ago, and think about the first man who was somehow considered to be man and no more an ape, it's only 3 million years. That's nothing compared with 15 billion years. So man has come in the material evolution just shortly. Just yesterday, you see, not long ago, just yesterday. But it came just yesterday, but there is a tomorrow. And there is a tomorrow, and that there is an evolution. And he can see that that evolution is evolving something very different than the mortal, than the mortal man. That evolution is an innovative process from lower to higher structures of order. It's not to a higher structure of corporeality, but of a higher structure of order. Well, the more we see divine order and divine laws, the more our consciousness becomes order consciousness and the less it is material consciousness. He's the one who always would say that what is then man, that higher sense of man? That's naturally then the question. If man has just come yesterday and we ask what is the man of today, of tomorrow and after tomorrow, he says, well, we are the Neanderthal man, of the future. You know the Neanderthal men, you know the first men who had knew how to use tools and so on. So when we go further and say, what is man in 10,000 years? When they look back to us, what do they think about us? Then they think, they are Neanderthal men, huh? They are Casanova men, huh? And they criticize each other, huh? And they do this to each other and that to each other. That was the Neanderthal man of the future, huh? Yes. So, we are only transitionary links. We are in a transitionary period. We always think as men as the crown of creation, whereas we are only a transitionary link of the men of the future. Of the men of the future. Mrs. Edith tells us about the men of the future. We remember my war cry, the time will come, that's the future. The time will come when we see that man is, that man's origin is divine science. That's the man of the future. That has nothing to do anymore with our corporeality, with our mortality. It is the idea of science. It's the calculus of ideas. We are the city, Jesus said. We are the city of God. The calculus, the divine infinite calculus. So because we have started out with that evolution that we said first, we studied the days of creation, then we arrived at the numerals of infinity, and they cannot be explained through the calendar of time, but in the measure as we lose immortality, thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. And then we know ourselves only as a divine infinite calculus. That would be wonderful. Then I wouldn't have to know who, what's the name to every face. I still don't know it yet. Huh? Yeah. So we just can talk to one calculus to the other calculus. Huh? Yes. Okay. Or this man, Professor Dietfurt, says, spirit is the spiritual principle of the universe. Now you come and see that spirit, a synonymous term for God, is really the principle of the spiritual principle of the universe, no more the material principle. Evolution is directed towards spirit, a spiritual principle. The world will be spiritualized. Aren't they wordings that we know from the Bible? That we need spiritualization? That the cosmos melts into a spiritual principle. That whole cosmos which we consider as galaxies on galaxies, millions of galaxies, will melt into a principle. That's it, huh? That's why we have the model of being, which shows the infinite principle and shows how that infinite principle is actually being, the only being there is, and it is constituted of 15 cosmological, or I would say ontological constants, and therefore the interreflection of those constants constitute the whole universe. It's just a principle and it's infinite idea. From the infinite one comes one principle and it's infinite idea. We always find somehow a correlation with what we have studied in the textbook. We only have to perk our ears and hear it, what is being quoted. Yes. Well, let me quote Max Planck. Planck is a top man in physics. He said long ago, because he passed on quite a while ago. He said, "Is no matter as such. All matter exists only as a force. As there exists in the universe no such a thing as an intelligent, eternal, abstract force, we have to accept that behind this force," he goes deeper into it, "there exists a conscious, intelligent spirit." So can you see again what was happening? We saw that matter was reduced to molecules, to atoms, and to the nucleus of an atom, then further down to quarks, and then to forces and to fields of forces. But that's not enough. Even he goes further and says, Max Planck already went further than that and said, what are these forces? They only exist as a conscious, intelligent spirit. Goes right back to spirit, right back to the synonymous term. Yes. Okay. That's our few quotes about spirit. Therefore, what they are asking for is that we should have what they call a meta-realism. Because we have been talking about reality, what is reality, in two ways. In the material, human reality, the way we see with our eyes the universe, one reality. And then we were seeing another reality, the spiritual reality, or the two reality. So the synthesis is that they say, well, reality must be just one reality, therefore above our concept of reality. Above is always meta, that's from the Greek, like metaphysics. So they are asking for a meta-reality, which is in our terminology spiritual reality. Reality is what? That meta-reality. What is it? They say that reality is a network of information. Can you see how spirit and mind work together constantly at this moment in the natural sciences? So reality is a network of information. It is an intelligence, an information universe that we have to deal with. A thinking universe. Order needs not a material medium to carry on. I don't know the exact terminology for that carry on, for that transportation. It does not need a material medium to express itself, to manifest itself, to evolve itself. Matter is out of question. The universe, gosh, think what they say here. This Guiton, which I was quoting you in this book, says, the universe is an information chart. We used to call our model of being a chart, and it is an information chart. That's, to him, the universe. Even more than that, he says the universe is an enormous information matrix. What do we want more? Is not our whole endeavor towards that one goal, to the information matrix of the universe, of reality, towards that information chart, the model of being? That's the universe. Can we see now better and better that Christian Science is the universe? Christian Science is not a special teaching for those who like to study Christian Science. That's too small. Christian Science has no limitations. It is not built for Christian scientists, for students of Christian Science, for students of the textbook. Christian Science is the whole world. and we begin to realize that that whole world is coming to the surface. It has been underneath the surface. We didn't know what that universe was. Think only 10,000 years backward. They didn't have the faintest idea what the universe was. Do you think they knew what the moon was? It was a round cheese. Just a nice Swiss Emmental cheese, huh? They didn't know what the moon was. They didn't know that the earth is round. How long has it taken until they found out that the earth is round? Huh? Think of it. That was just the last second of the history of the whole evolution. It's only, 500 years old. Huh? Just the last second. So we can see that their information was very little. They had hardly any information. They didn't have the faintest idea what the universe was. Did we ever think when we were, boys and girls, say, before the war, were we ever thinking that it is possible that we will know exactly what is the backside of the moon? Somebody would have said, well, we can know what is on the backside of the moon. We would have said, Dotty, huh? A few years afterwards, we knew it. Exactly. And so the universe expands and expands, and more and more that divine intelligence universe is giving away its secrets. Step by step it gives away its secrets. And we begin to know its secrets. Yes. So the future, they say, would be what? Something which we say for the whole week. That's why we had the seminar for a whole week. Namely, the discovering of the cosmic information source, the information matrix. That's the future, they say. Can you see, going away, they didn't say the future is that we know more about matter. They have already seen that there is no matter. So what's the use of knowing more about nothing? But in place of the nothing, they have something. They have filled in the nothingness of nothing with the information matrix, with the information chart. That is our source. And they consider that and call it, I don't know if I can phrase it properly, they call it, translated into English, I would say, I couldn't find it in the dictionary. They say that it is, that information in matrix is the gorging field. Is that understandable? The gorging field. You have always for everything a measurement, a standard. Don't you call that the gorge? Gauge. Oh, good. So it's a gauging field. Huh? A gauging field. It's a field where we can measure everything. It's an exact constant, so to say, of information which doesn't change. It's our standard of information, that matrix, that model of being, and that's our engaging field, what they call it. Yeah. So we come always nearer and nearer, really, to what we are driving at in our study. Now, this has been a big subject of matter versus spirit. To see that there is no duality, no dualism in matter and spirit. So I tell you what Mrs. Eddy wanted to teach Adam Dickey in her last years. It's from Adam Dickey's book himself, and I read it what he is stating there. One day Mrs. Eddy touched Adam Dickey's hand with her finger and asked him, "What is this?" What would we have replied? Matter, huh? Body. So his reply, "What is this?" she asked him. He replied, "Matter." You would have done the same. She said, "It is not. It is spirit," capitalized. That seems to be against all our teaching we had in Christian Science. Huh? Seems to go against everything. Then another time she looked at him and said, "You are spirit." And he said, "No, Mother, I'm spiritual." She said in a very emphatic way, "You are spirit." And he said, "Mother, I do not see that." We didn't see that. We all didn't see that. But I think today we can see that. And he said, "Mother, I do not see that." She said, "You are spirit," the third time. But he said he could not see it. So when he was going to his room and met Mrs. Sargent, who was a secretary or a co-worker with Mrs. Eddy, and he told her of the conversation with Mrs. Eddy, and she said, "Oh, Mr. Dickey, why did you say that? Mother was trying to give you her highest teaching." Now, I think this week we have touched that highest teaching, where we really could say, when we understand it, that matter is spirit, that we are spirit. Now, I know that I hang myself, huh? If you go to your friends and say, "Max is teaching matter is spirit," I know that they hang me for that. And one can easily misunderstand it. But I have taken 4 days to try to lead thought to this point, to the really away from dualism, to the one-valued logic. If there is only a one-valued logic, if there is only one being, then there can be not a two-valued logic, and then there cannot be many beings. So all what we have to see is that we give to matter and spirit the new standpoint and say, well, quantum theory told us that the standpoint defines what we see, what kind of a universe we have. It's not the universe that has to change. Eternal truth changes the universe, and we were thinking absolutely in the wrong way. We were seeing eternal truth coming to the material universe and begins to change it and to change it and turn it over and turn it over until it comes whose right it is. No! We never can be out of error truth. Truth is that which changes the universe. If we take the standpoint of truth, we change our concept of the universe. If we take the standpoint of spirit, we have a spiritual universe. Point final. Full stop.